Welcome to the Three Count Podcast, where other podcasts are the twos and we the ones. I'm your host, Dylan Chambers, making his return to action. My co-host, Ben Hobden. Benny, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Dil. It's good to be back, mate. I'm feeling a lot better now, so back in action.
Good to have you back in the co-host seat. Got a big show for everyone today. Going to talk all things Crown Jewel, give our thoughts on each match. We're going to look at some returns, some possible returns, plus some title and injury news. We've got plenty for you. And as always, we'll have another great draft for you. We're going to draft the best WWE pay-per-view matches to happen outside of the USA. It was a fun, deep one that we went into, Benny. But
There's lots.
Looking forward to it. Now, make sure you follow us on the socials at 3CountPod on Twitter and Facebook, at 3CountPodcast on Instagram. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button or the follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Benny,
you're right there, mate.
I'm still coming back from a little bit of a few. There's a lot of talking in the intro. But let's get to the news. You know, we'll get to the match a little bit later, but I think the biggest news of the week is we've got to talk about Logan Paul's injuries at Crown Jewel.
Yeah, so MCL, ACL, is ACL been confirmed yet?
ACL has not been confirmed, just possible ACL.
Yeah, but just the fact that he competed with that is just crazy. So it
incredible.
Looks like he's going to be out for a little bit.
Torn MCL, torn meniscus, possible ACL.
Yeah, he's already, I don't know if he's had surgery, but I've seen him already doing some rehab stuff and that kind of stuff in the gym and that. So he reckons he's going to get back and he's going to get out there. So
you wouldn't have even known. Nah, I had no idea.
He's so athletic, that bloke. So athletic.
Incredible. It just shows, you know, kind of what adrenaline's going through their bodies in something like that.
Yeah. He was just running high on it for sure.
Crazy. And his viral clip of jumping onto Reigns through the announce table. That was incredible. If you haven't seen it, go out and check it out. That's how you handle a phone video while through the air.
you think about all these videos that you see when people are filming something on the street or whatever, and it's all like this and whatever else. That man jumped off the top turnbuckle through a table and kept perfect camera the whole time. Like,
it was incredible.
So good.
I wonder if he practiced that a bit.
Oh, I don't know if you'd want to be practicing that too many times.
Now let's get into the WWE news. Now we've got a WWE World Cup, which is about to happen, starting on SmackDown, I guess, to align with the FIFA World Cup starting. Now we've had a WWE World Cup before, did not end very well with Shane McMahon inserting himself and winning.
Yes. Well, let's less talk about that, the better.
Yeah. Hopefully they do a little bit more with this one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go. I don't know. Triple H is in charge, so we've got fingers crossed, you know.
That's right. I wonder if it'll be a little bit like that All-Atlantic tournament where it'll be people from different countries.
Well, that would make sense. That would make sense. But, you know, it's the USA, mate. They always still think that they're the champs.
Yeah, the World Series. The NBA champs. World Champions. There you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of wrestlers from other countries, WWE has just launched the search for Africa's next WWE superstar.
They've already got one.
They do. They have the Nigerian giant Omos. So Omos and Apollo Crews are actually at the press conference announcing this. So I'm sure they'll find a lot of good talent in Africa.
Oh yeah, no, there's definitely something out there. You know, like it's going to be very interesting to see what they can unearth, and you know, the more people they get, the better, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, WWE sometimes gives itself away with trademarks that it makes, that it signs up for. Queen of the Ring is the latest trademark that WWE has taken. Do you think we'll get a King of the Ring? There are rumors that King of the Ring will be back, and I guess Queen of the Ring as well.
Yeah, well, who was the last Queen? Zelina Vega,
it was Queen
it?
Zelina, but they called it the Queen's Crown. So
that's right. Okay.
That does sound like it's a Vince thing, so.
Yeah, I did read briefly something about possibly bringing it back. So fingers crossed. It's always been a good one for like emerging talent, you know what I mean? Sort of thing to sort of give them that next push.
Absolutely. It's kind
of
like
some of the bigger names that have always won it, you know, Owen Hart. And then you had Stone Cold. That was the unearthing of Stone Cold, really. Triple H, it really progressed him.
So. Absolutely. And it's kind of one of those mid-card stepping stones. Like at the moment, all they've got is the two titles, you know, the US and the IC title. But it's a good little stepping stone, the King of the Ring. Not that they did too much with it with Woods, but hopefully they kind of bring it back to prominence. I used to really look forward to the King of the Ring pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I think the Woods one was just to get him over the line, you know, like just to give him that little crowning moment.
Yeah.
Just speaking, just one of the kings just popped into my head. How can you forget about King Mabel? What a legend, King Mabel. Oh,
King Mabel. Well, King Booker. He certainly made a name for himself off it, although he was already a name beforehand.
King Booker, yes.
King Booker. Now, speaking of bringing things back, on Raw, there was a little return to the opening signature of the show with Sasha and Naomi were back in the opening credits for Raw.
I missed that. I didn't see that.
Yes. Now, Sasha was backstage last week visiting Bayley at a WWE event, so... could we see them returning soon? It looks like it.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
And another return, Mia Yim made her return to WWE to be Rhea Ripley's equalizer for the OC. So it was good to see Mia back.
Well, we were speculating, weren't we? Who were they going to get?
And, yeah.
You know, I sent you that picture from years ago of Charlotte during the week just to stir her up a little bit. But, I mean, Charlotte's too big of a name. But I mean, Rhea and Charlotte have had history. But Mia Yim, I think it's a good fit for those guys. And yeah, it should be interesting.
I 100% agree. A perfect fit for them. And yes, very good to see her back. Now, we had a little bit happening on Raw this week. We had a great promo between the New Day and the Usos.
Oh, that was strong.
It was strong. I mean, it's kind of sad that we're getting this defense of the record on a SmackDown. You know, if they'd thought that through a little bit more, maybe Crown Jewel would have been a better
payoff, you reckon?
Better time for it. Hopefully they don't just blow it off. I mean, I'd love to see New Day save the record.
Well, have you seen the poster for Survivor Series? There's speculation that New Day will win because the poster for Survivor Series, the Usos don't have the tag titles over their shoulders. So everyone's speculating that the New Day will win on SmackDown. Juicy. Yeah, so maybe. But you know, it could be just one of those things that they're just trying to throw us off the scent. But these two teams always have cracking matches, so
absolutely, it should be great. The New Day's very much been under the radar the past, you know, couple of months and even year.
Yeah, off for a while. Once they split them up and Big E went solo, it's sort of they've taken a back seat, but they've sort of been in and around. But that promo by Woods mostly was just so strong and just sort of heartfelt. You know, like you could really see the emotion and stuff. So I thought that was pretty good, and it really sets it up for Saturday.
Absolutely. Do we see Big E come back and maybe neutralize Solo?
I don't know. Oh, look, you'd like to, but I just...
I mean, all three of them were out at the Black Panther Wakanda Forever premiere.
He might be there just in the crowd of support or something like that, or maybe even stand on the ramp and that causes Solo to go up the ramp or something like that, and then they could get the victory.
It'd certainly be a big pop if he came back. Oh,
massive, massive.
Now, speaking of titles, seemingly the 24/7 title is no more.
That was brilliantly done.
Nikki Cross won the 24/7 title. And I guess in backstage, she was supposed to drop it into a bin.
She missed the bin.
Yeah. But essentially, she just was basically not caring about it, just dropped it. Hopefully, that's the last we see of it.
Well, it's been all over, you know, social media and stuff like that. It's like the rest in peace signs and all this kind of stuff, you know, and it's got like the death date of the 24/7 title and stuff. So I think it might be. I don't think it was really that big of a popular thing.
There's no point in having it if R-Truth is injured, right?
Exactly right, yeah.
And speaking of, so R-Truth suffered a torn quad. Get better soon, R-Truth.
Yeah.
He's been around for a while, old R-Truth.
Long time. He'd be up to nearly 25 years or something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, what was his name when he first came in? It's escaping me now. I mean, it's Ron the Truth Killings. I can't remember what they called him. K-Quick with Road Dog. Loved it.
Just quickly, speaking of 25 years, it just popped into my head. Do you know what today's date anniversary is, mate?
I do not.
Montreal Screwjob, 25 years today.
Ah, yes. Much love to HBK and Vince McMahon.
Boo.
Doing the right thing.
Boo. But yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in there for you.
Well, maybe that will make an appearance in our draft a little bit later
Definitely
on.
Definitely not on my list.
We will see. Now, speaking of titles, Austin Theory, has cashed in his money in the bank, trying to cash in on the US title and failed after getting pummeled by Lashley. What do you make of it, Benny?
Well, they're saying it's a double turn, essentially, to turn Lashley and Rollins. And, you know, Theory just got thrown in the middle just to screw him over, really. Vince's boy, Dunn, Triple H, obviously not as big a fan. So it was just weird that Lashley stopped the, you know, it just didn't make sense for me. It was a bit sort of a schmoz fest, really.
It was. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to use, like, the cash-in at such a time when it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think about...
He's still got 8 months to use it. Like, I mean, just let him just run around with it and pretend. Because he's such a chicken shit heel that could have kept working.
The thing I don't understand is, if he really wanted the US title, there was a US title open challenge he could have taken. And
he didn't have to cash it in. Yeah, I guess, yeah, he's trying to do it because, you know, Lashley had decimated Rollins. So you'd think it's an easy victory. But, it was disappointing in the end.
My feeling is it's not going to stick.
Yeah, they're going to say it wasn't a cash in or something.
He's going to whinge about it. You can only cash in on the main title or I got screwed by Lashley. That's maybe that'll be his gimmick now, trying to get the briefcase back.
Yeah.
Seeing what hoops he can jump through. We will see. Now, lastly, there have been rumors running rampant that we will see John Cena at WrestleMania 39 in Los Angeles.
It'd be pretty, but how can you see him, mate?
Well, apparently there's a couple of people who want to see him. Yeah. Gunther, he's shown a bit of interest.
And I think you called that a while back, didn't you, Gunther?
I mean, it looked like it was going to be Theory Cena for a while.
Yeah.
That Logan Paul has also, you know, said he's maybe interested. I don't think he'll be ready in time, but...
Not for Mania.
Not for Mania, but that would be pretty interesting.
He's young, athletic, though. You never know.
You never know these things. Could do an Adrian Peterson.
If it's not an ACL, then he definitely could be. If it's only the MCL, then he definitely could.
Absolutely. Now, we'll just touch on AEW. We'll talk a little bit more about AEW next week in our full gear preview. But MJF, he is going to be in Zac Efron's new movie called The Iron Claw about the Von Erich family.
Yes, definitely. It should be interesting. He's have you seen Zac Efron's hair doing that thing, playing Kerry Von Erich?
Oh, it's magnificent. The bowl cut.
So good. But yeah, MJF will be interesting to see what he does.
I don't know if, I mean, the picture I saw of it, I don't know if Zac Efron has prosthetics on, but he looks like swole.
Yeah, swole. I like it.
He looks like swole.
Just on other acting people as well, Becky Lynch is playing Cyndi Lauper in Young Rock.
That's right. She's made her appearance in the first episode, doing a Brooklyn accent, which was... interesting. She did a pretty good job of it.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm looking forward to watching it.
She did a pretty good job of it. Now, what else is going on in AEW? Saraya has been cleared to wrestle.
That was an interesting little segment.
Britt Baker at Full Gear.
And she's like, and unfortunately for Britt.
Yeah, I am cleared. It was very good. Now, I touched on it last week, Jeff Jarrett coming to AEW. Now, apparently it's not just an on-screen role. He will have responsibilities as well. Now, rumors are that he will take on setting up AEW house shows, which they've never really done before, because he did that for WWE in the past. So,
interesting. He's going to be wrestling as well, though. So,
yeah. Well, I'd say he'll be in a tag match against Sting at Full Gear. So,
yeah. It's like, you know, WCW gone in
WCW in 2000.
Yeah. Old slap nuts.
Old slap nuts. Lastly, we had Samoa Joe turn on Wardlow.
We've seen that coming, didn't we?
Yeah. I mean, that'll be a fun match. You would think Samoa will put Wardlow over, but when they eventually go head to head, I think that will be good.
I haven't finished it. I know who wins the main event today as well. But did you watch the matches today or?
I did. I managed to catch up on. The main event was fantastic, which is not surprising for Guevara and Danielson. But yes, very, very well done. But let's move on to Crown Jewel. We'll start with Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. Now, Lashley dominated, but Lesnar won after trying to reverse a hurt lock. Lashley kept it locked in. Lesnar is on top of him for the three count, an iffy-looking three count, but
shoulder was up.
Count it. And then Lashley just destroyed Lesnar.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't a wrestling spectacle. We're not going to call it that.
No, no. It could have been worse.
Yeah, but it was just two big boys going at it, wasn't it, yeah, really?
Absolutely.
And also, was technically, I guess he didn't get out of the Hurt Lock, but is that the first person that's got out of the Hurt Lock now?
I don't know if he could lock it in, because I saw him trying to lock it in and Lesnar's shoulders are too big.
Yeah. But when Lesnar was on top of him, I don't think he got the shoulder. Like, I think Lashley's shoulders up. So
yeah.
Yeah. But they didn't mention any of that. So, you know,
they
didn't. Knows?
What did you give it, Benny?
I only gave it a one count, mate. I wasn't really like that enthralled with it, to be honest.
I gave it a one count as well. I mean, this is definitely not over. We've got Lashley unstoppable heel taking out everyone, running riot. I think he's going to run wild for a few weeks and then maybe a Rumble match. I don't think we'll see a Survivor Series one.
Depends what he's going to do with Rollins. Is he going to just keep attacking Rollins at the moment, you think? Possibly. Or is Rollins going to keep moving on?
To keep waiting for Brock for Lesnar.
Yeah.
We'll see. I did
hear he wants to reform the Hurt Lock, the Hurt business, though. So,
well, I mean, poor Cedric and Shelton just taking L's on Raw. Just
Shelton's the most underutilized. Well, I know he's older now, but God, he was just—he could have been anything, that kid.
I thought for sure they're going to give one of them the win, but they both just jobbed out on Monday night.
It's weird, isn't it?
Poor guys. We move on to the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match. Asuka and Bliss, they looked in control until Nikki Cross appeared, attacked Bliss, which allowed Kai to get the pin and win the titles back. I gave this one a 1.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 1.5 as well, but I thought it was a pretty impressive match. There was a lot of like chain wrestling and stuff like that at the beginning. And then you had, you know, Io and Asuka just going at it. Like, they just clearly don't like each other.
Did you see, so Io and Asuka had a back and forth on Raw.
Yeah.
In Japanese. Did you see the subtitled version?
Yeah, I have seen the translation. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Very fun. Basically, just Asuka calling her stupid over and over and over again.
And then she calls her a bitch.
And being surprised that she speaks Japanese.
Well, apparently they have different dialects in the different areas that they're both from. So one's from Osaka and one's from Tokyo. So I was reading a story about it yesterday. And apparently they really don't like each other at all. So,
good.
But yeah, it was a good match, entertaining. Obviously, the Nikki Cross interference, and then 1.5 count for me.
Yeah, and obviously, I get 1.5 as well. We're heading to Survivor Series War Games match, Damage Control, Nikki Cross, Belair, Bliss, and Asuka on the other. Not sure who will join them, but I don't think it'll be anyone of note.
Emma.
Emma will be on there somewhere, no doubt.
Yeah.
But yes, moving on, the steel cage match, Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross. Hell of a back and forth fight between the two. Scarlett ended up macing McIntyre as he tried to escape the cage, as well as the official. McIntyre stopped Cross from escaping despite the mace. Then Scarlett locked the cage. When McIntyre got the upper hand, he decided to climb out, and Scarlett was not quick enough at unlocking the cage for Cross, and Drew beat him to the floor.
Was that a botch finish? Did they botch that a little bit? It just felt botchy to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, it seemed a little bit clunky.
Yeah.
I gave it a 1.5. Look, I thought the match was good, but too much Scarlett schmozziness in the ending for me.
It was that stereotypical cage match, you know. There wasn't as much like, oh, I'm going to climb, catch sort of thing. But it was back and forth. It was drawn out, which you expect from these guys. Drew sells so well. And yeah, you're right. The clunkiness and just sort of Scarlett was always going to get involved.
Yeah,
we knew that. That's their stick. You know what that's I mean? Their shtick. But yeah, I gave it a 1.5 count as well. So we're on the same path here at the moment, mate. It seems to be.
I do kind of wish this was over, but I don't think it is. I think we'll probably see them on opposite Survivor Series teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's It's run its course for me.
Yeah, I said I wanted to see more of it, and now I've seen more of it, and I'm done with it as well.
We're done now. Next, we have the six-man tag team match, OC and Judgment Day. Solid match. Building to the moment, we saw Styles and Balor face off in the ring, which is what everyone wanted to see. Rhea then attacked Styles at ringside, which led to the coup de grace for the Balor win. What'd you think?
I gave it a 1.5 count. It was entertaining. It, again, I love using the chicken shit heel term, but Dominic played that so well, just running away and carrying on like that. No answer for Rhea until now, which we now know who it is, but
that was always going to happen. She just pulls AJ off the ropes, off the ring, and then they get the victory.
It seems like a simple move that they made, moving Mysterio to SmackDown, Rey Mysterio to SmackDown, but it has really opened up Dominic. I think, like, just not having Rey there, not having that be a thing.
Yeah. You forget, like, it's not that whole family dynamic thing anymore or whatever else he's got. I like it. I like that he's not with Rey, so he can sort of try and forge a path.
Exactly.
He's just lacking that one little thing. So I think if he steers right into that chicken shit heel thing and just becomes the most hated person on the roster, then he could get over even more.
He's doing a good job saying he's better than Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
And he keeps doing better than his dad. And yeah.
Like all that kind of stuff, you know. It's not quite resonating yet.
No, he just needs a little bit more of an edge or something.
More of an edge. As for
an edge. Like, he probably doesn't want an edge right now. So obviously we saw Mia Yim come to equalize Ripley. Rhea did cross paths with Belair backstage, which was an interesting, I think maybe a little nod to what we might be seeing in the future.
You think it, yeah? You reckon they're going to progress to that quickly?
Maybe not anytime soon, but I think it's a little tip of the cap.
Sort of long-term storytelling.
Yeah, like we'll just plant a little seed.
Well, I'm sure you'll be happy for anybody to take the title off Belair, mate, so it won't matter.
Please.
For those listening and not watching, Dylan rolled his eyes worse than The Undertaker then, so...
Oh, I'm over it, but we'll get to that. But obviously, we're going to see these guys all across the ring from each other at Survivor Series.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all ends up and transpires at Survivor Series. Once the teams start making sort of shape, it's going to be good.
Now, Benny's match of the night, Monster versus Giant, Braun Strowman versus Omos.
Three count.
Yeah. Omos had control for most of the match. Strowman fought back, hit a power slam, got the pin, just like someone mentioned in the preview.
Hey.
I gave it a 1 count, which is one more than I thought I'd be giving it.
Well,
and to be honest, to be honest, I might have even rated it higher if all the other matches on the card weren't so good.
Do you know what's funny? I actually thought you were going to give it a higher because we conversed back and forth during the weekend. And I thought you were going to give it a higher rating. And I was really starting to get worried. I was like, this guy's going to give it like a 2 or something. And I was really worried.
I rated it for those guys.
No, I gave it a 1/2 count. I thought, you know, they exactly like you said was going to happen. But it just made him look even weaker. Do you know what I mean? Like it just makes Omos look terrible. He gets one piece of offense against him and he's done.
That's what happened to Andre.
Yeah.
One power slam. And
Andre was the best. You know, Omos didn't even have anything yet. He got beat by Hogan. Come on.
Yes, that's right. Now, I don't think they go back to the well for this one again. I think...
Braun's been in a bit of trouble backstage. Apparently, he's got a bit of heat going on with him as well. Have you heard that?
I have heard that. He's winding up the high flyers.
Yeah. The flippy floppies or whatever he calls them.
Flippy floppers.
So... it'll be interesting to see what happens, but
yeah, maybe we'll see each of them on the other side of a Survivor Series team. But I think they're probably done with one-on-one between the two.
Well, I reckon WWE should steer into the whole flippy flopper thing on TikTok on Twitter and just run them all one after the other at Braun. Just have a gauntlet match and just steer into it. You know,
flippy floppers versus Monster.
Yeah, just let him dominate them all and then really put him over, or let them get the victory. Hey.
Hey, flippy floppers, they can still do it. Ask Rey Mysterio. We then get to the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship match, the Usos, the Brawling Brutes. Another pretty back-and-forth match ended with an awesome 1D off the top rope by the Usos.
That was so good.
Who then got the pin. What did you think of this one, Benny?
It was a solid match. There was just so many super kicks.
Yeah.
Like, too many. I think they need to stop going to it. You know,
is
like,
there such a thing as too many super kicks? Ask the Bucks.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's why they're doing it. You know what I mean? Maybe we've just seen the super kick too much over the last 2 years. I feel like it's just...
Remember when it used to be a finishing move?
Yeah. Like, exactly. HBK. So, and there was a lot of great false finishes in this, though, as well. So I gave it a 2 count overall. I thought it was a decent match.
Geez, we are on the same page, Benny. I gave it a 2 count as well. Some of tag team wrestling at its best. Yeah. I think it made Butch, but especially Holland, look good in a loss.
Yeah.
Like Holland looked really good. All eyes now go to SmackDown, where New Day take on the Usos. As for the Brutes, I think they might be waiting till Sheamus gets back from his honeymoon till we see them again.
He's rumored to be back this week, but might not be back until the following week. So
now I know they're a SmackDown team, right? The Brutes. Because I was just thinking, where could they go to from here? Viking Raiders are Raw, but I really think that could be a good rivalry. I think there could be something that they do with that.
Well, when are we going to see them fully get involved and having a crack? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we haven't seen Sarah Logan's face yet. We've just seen...
Being these real weird sort of vignettes.
Geez, Triple H loves vignettes, doesn't he?
Loves a vignette.
Oh, he loves a vignette. Vignette crazy at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, hey, do you guys remember Charlotte? Oh, hey, do you guys remember Kevin Owens?
Well, it went for 3 hours and 40 minutes, and I think there was at least an hour and 40 minutes of vignettes. easy. Because I watched it fast-forwarding through those bits, and I reckon I would have watched it in 2 hours.
You started watching later than me, and you caught up to me very quickly.
And overtalk, yeah. So, but anyway, moving on.
Okay. We then go to the Raw Women's Championship, last woman standing match. I apologize. Bianca Belair and Bayley, as we like to say, was the most brutal match of the night.
It was.
We got ladders, kendo sticks, chairs, steel steps, the stage, tables, and
a golf cart.
And a golf cart. In the end, Belair hit Bayley with a kiss of death, set up on a set up chair, which looked kind of awkward and nasty.
Oh.
Then trapped Bayley in a ladder under the rope so she couldn't get out and answer the 10 count. So the win for Belair, she retains.
Your best mate retains. A couple of takeouts from this for me. You remember in the I Quit match between Edge and Finn, and the ref kept putting the microphone in their face?
Yeah.
And he really annoyed us. It was like every time they hit the deck, the ref was like, no, go away. One, two. I'm like, you don't need that at the beginning of the match. Like, let's just have a regular match and then we'll start that later on. And it really deterred away from the match for me.
Yeah.
I was going to give it a 2.5 count because I actually enjoyed the match, but things that took it away from me. And the whole golf cart thing just really ruined it for me as well. Like, they didn't need that golf cart. So I gave it a 2 count in the end.
It's like you have read my mind. I have 2 count would have been 2.5 if not for golf cart silliness.
Yeah, there you go.
It was a good idea, the golf cart. It just didn't have enough speed to it.
It reminded me of that in that Austin Powers movie when the guy gets run over by the steamroller and he's like, no, and it just like runs over him really slowly. That's what it was, because there was just nothing about it.
That's a great shout. It was so slow seeing Belair try and dodge it when she had 5 minutes to dodge it.
Yeah. If she had gone, when she went down the ramp in the golf cart, if she had slammed on the brakes and Bayley went over the top or something like that, like real hard, it would have been good. Yeah. But, you know, I know they were trying to do the whole move off the top of it through the table, which she missed badly, that table. That looked like it hurt.
Yeah.
So, but overall, I still thought it was a pretty entertaining match. So I gave it a 2 count.
I agree. It was entertaining. I did not enjoy the result, but it has made me think that they're not going to put the title on Bayley.
No, it doesn't look like it.
Yeah, that, I mean, too many losses for the title. I mean, obviously, they're going to be in a Survivor Series match. Belair's probably not going to have a title challenger until the Rumble. Maybe the Ripley tease is leading to the Rumble. I don't know, but... I don't think we're going to see her lose the title anytime soon.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Ripley Belair at Rumble. That'd be good.
Yeah, that would be good. And then I guess we're leading to a possible Charlotte return at some point. And then I think they're looking at Charlotte Belair at Mania. Yeah. And yeah. And Rousey Lynch.
Okay.
So then,
okay, yeah. So that means, well, only one of those needs to win the Rumble though. So
yeah. I so guess, Charlotte will come back and win the Rumble, maybe.
Oh, she can't win the Rumble again.
Yeah. But then can Lynch win the I don't know. Surprises, Triple H. Surprises.
She could be the Rumble entrant, Naomi.
There
anyway,
you go.
We'll get to the Rumble later. Let's yeah. finish this bad boy off.
Yeah, let's finish the year off first. Now, we then had the Bray Wyatt promo. Now, I know you love your Bray Wyatt, and I think you agree with my sentiments that this didn't really add anything to the Bray Wyatt story. It just got him on the show.
100%. I think the crowd wanted to see him over in Saudi, so let's put him out there. Let's just do a 5-minute segment. But it didn't leave me wanting more like everything else has.
Yeah.
We need to, Uncle Howdy sounds like Bray. So I don't know if it is going to be somebody else now. So which means we can't have the face off.
I mean, I alluded to last week, saying that, you know, Uncle Howdy has the cross earring, the same as Bo Dallas. But if it's Bo, I'm a little bit disappointed now. I don't know why. I just feel like there's something more interesting they can do with it.
Why would his younger brother be his Uncle Howdy? Like,
yeah.
Or if they work it, it could, you know, like, you know.
Or maybe just have him play the character of Uncle Howdy and he never takes the mask off.
Yeah, that works. That works
much,
for me.
Much like The Fiend. I guess we'll find out hopefully sooner than later because it's starting to wear on me a little.
What about this then? Bo comes back and wears the Fiend mask, and then Bray comes out as Uncle Howdy and takes the mask off. So then it's Bray versus the Fiend, but Bray was Uncle Howdy.
You're blowing my mind, Benny.
So there we go. So then he can still verse himself. I don't know.
Hopefully we find out soon. Hopefully we find out soon. Hopefully Bray wrestles soon.
Yeah, that's what's getting to me because I love Bray in the ring. He's just like the
I don't mind like the vignettes. Well, they're not even vignettes. They're just him talking to the camera and pacing backstage. But
what about the camera light as well? Like one half of is red and one half of his face is blue, the way they do the lighting. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. One half of him is Raw, one half is SmackDown.
Exactly right. All brands.
We'll move on to the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match. Roman Reigns, Logan Paul. Now, it's nearly impossible to explain everything that happened in the match. Go and watch it. Incredible spots, great storytelling from both men. Superman punches from Paul, a frog splash, appearances from the Usos, Jake Paul, Solo Sikoa, a Logan Paul jump from the top rope to the announce table, which he filmed. Sikoa and Jake Paul stared each other down. Logan jumped to the outside to take out the Usos with a torn MCL and meniscus. Then he got back in the ring. Reigns hit him with a Superman punch and a spear for the win.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I was expecting it to be athletic, but the story they put on in that ring, it was great. You know, Reigns was talking to the camera and really just giving it all. And then his facials when he was selling, like when he just couldn't believe that, you know, Logan was coming back. And there was some false finishes. And I was literally thought, they're not going to put the title on him here, are they? Like, I honestly believed that he was going to win at one stage.
I thought they might too. And that's like a testament to how the match was. That
completely agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I gave it a 3 count.
Oh, okay. You know, I can't give out a 3 count. So I gave it 2 3/4.
With the 3 counts as I am.
Nah, I'm not Dave Meltzer. Shout out, Meltz. 2 3/4 for me. But, and don't compare my 2 3/4 matches between this and the other ones that I've given before because they are completely different.
Yeah.
But the immersive experience that I was in watching that at the time was absolutely brilliant. I loved it.
Now, I'm not giving a 3 count for the best technical match. I'm talking about entertainment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was an entertaining spectacle. For a guy who's had 3 matches now, it's incredible to see how much he's learned and, like, how he's picked everything up so quickly. Like, he's most obviously not the most technically proficient. That takes time. But he knows how to milk a big moment. He knows how to use his athleticism. But one, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how incredible Paul was, but let's not sleep on Roman. Like, what Roman, he's done me, in that match,
he
carrying him through it, selling like crazy to a rookie,
yeah,
putting him over big time.
And don't forget Heyman as well on the outside. Like, those little nuances from Heyman, you know, like the, oh, no, yeah, things like that, they just, it gets that, takes it to that next level. And
absolutely.
They did a great job. One thing I think, well, do we think he tore his meniscus and stuff on the buckshot lariat?
Possibly. Yeah, like, yeah, he may have.
That move is, like, definitely something when you land and go for it. But that was a really, like, I was like, oh, Hangman's out here. What's going on? Yeah. This is cool.
Yeah.
He did it well, too.
He did it very well. He did everything very well.
Yeah. No, shout out. We sound like Logan Paul troopers now. Like, we were like, remember when he first came in, we were like, what is going on? And now we're like, we're praising him with three count matches. Like, come on.
Now we're like, yeah, depressed that he's injured.
Yeah, I actually am. But shout out, Logan. You know, give us a call out.
Yeah. I mean, the injury sucks. Means we probably won't see him till maybe SummerSlam.
Ooh.
Which is a long way away. Jake has mentioned he might be interested, Jake Paul, but he does have Canelo and Nate Diaz to worry about first. As for Reigns, do you think we see him at Survivor Series?
I think he will lead the team, and then at the last minute, he'll be forced to have to join the team. Somebody will end up going, oh, you're too pussy to get in there and have a go with your bloodline.
Yeah.
And you know how Reigns gets that little thing and it like eats at his ego a little bit, and then finally he'll go, fine, I'll get in there as well.
Yeah. So, like, as for who his next opponent is, I've got no idea. Do you give KO another shot? I mean, they could do some fun stuff with KO and Sammy. And
yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
That's where I go to, but I know they won't. I'm
guessing Drew's probably next to back up in line again.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing.
It'll be interesting to see, and we certainly didn't pick Logan Paul as his next opponent last time, so who knows what they come up with now.
Very true.
So that is it for Crown Jewel, Benny. It is time to get into the three-count draft. Today we are drafting best matches to happen outside of the USA in a WWE pay-per-view. Now, I went through and I counted all of the WWE pay-per-views held outside of the USA, and there were 50.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There were 50, and that's official ones. There's still plenty, like, you know, the Global Warning Tour and all that kind of stuff, which weren't technically on pay-per-view, but they may have released on DVD later. I think WWE did a tour with New Japan stars many years ago, like back with Hogan. And
there was a showground show in South Africa that they did once as well. That apparently, I haven't seen the match, but apparently a Bret Hart Stone Cold match was on there that was meant to be brilliant. So.
All right. And there's been plenty of tribute to the troops and that kind of thing. But we went with the Wikipedia listed 50 pay-per-views that WWE has done. There's some fun stuff in there. This is going to be a tough draft.
As I told you just before, I've gone pretty older. A lot of my stuff's older, so. See how we go. But you've got now, the number one pick.
I have the first pick.
Don't do it.
And I know you want to take it. And I just can't do it because I didn't think it was that good.
Really? See, it's
don't get such, me wrong.
It's my childhood. It's just that's my crowning moment of.
Don't get me wrong. I thought it was a great match, but I think it was the best international match? No.
No, I just have to take it.
Now I have a very big recency bias with what I'm going with number one.
Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns.
No, honorable mention at the moment.
It's on my list.
But it is from this year.
Wow.
I'm going with Gunther and Sheamus at Clash at the Castle.
Nice.
Now,
as the number one pick.
Oh, that's a bit out of the ordinary. There have only been two pay-per-view matches not held in the US, which have got five or more stars.
Wow, okay.
That is one of them.
There you go.
And I thought I had no time for Sheamus, very little time for Gunther before this match. Now I'm all in on both of them. I thought it was just one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Beautiful. I like it. Fair enough.
Go on, take it, Benny.
SummerSlam 92. Hart versus Bulldog. Can't go past it. Wembley.
4.25 stars that one got, just out of in case you're curious.
If Bulldog wasn't off his face and Hart had to carry him through the whole match. It could have been a 7-star match.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I'm going to go back to 2004 for my next pick.
No.
I am. Well, I mean, there's actually, I've got two here right next to each other for 2004. Okay. I'm going to take Randy Orton and Cactus Jack for the Intercontinental title.
I hate you.
Backlash 2004 from Edmonton.
No holds barred match, was it?
Yeah, no holds barred for the IC title.
Damn.
Bloody brilliant.
Yeah, great pick. All right. Now, this one, I feel like this is a pay-per-view. I might be rolling the dice. I don't know. Lesnar's big return was Beast in the East pay-per-view.
I will give you that. I had Beast in the East.
Yeah, KO versus versus Balor.
You're taking KO versus Balor from that pay-per-view. Okay. Yeah.
I thought that was a brilliant match.
Yeah, that was NXT title match.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good stuff. KO Balor.
He came out in the full, like, the demon. He came out as Demon Balor and just... I remember watching it just going, this is awesome.
Yeah. That was good stuff. I did have that on in my honorable mention section. Now, where do I go from here? Now, this may not have been the best match, but it's certainly one that sticks out in history, I think.
I know what I'm with this.
Rock and Hogan.
Yeah.
Rock and Hogan, WrestleMania 18, 2002 from Toronto. You know, I'm sure it probably surprised a lot of people how much Hogan had left in the tank in that match. And it was just masterfully done.
I can still, like, just as soon as you mentioned it, I can still see that iconic stare off in the ring, you know, and the Rock's like, it's just so, brilliant. It was brilliantly done. All right, well, I'm going to counter that with also another passing of the torch, I guess you could call, Hogan match. And that'll be WrestleMania 6 versus Warrior.
I thought you may pick that.
Yeah. It was just, you know, it was the IC and world title and
winner take all.
Winner take all. Hogan gives him the title after the match. And it's just sort of, you know, Warrior's time now. I'm not a Warrior fan by any means, but it was just like iconic moment sort of match. And it was an okay match for those two.
Absolutely. And I believe after the match, well, the next night or a couple of nights later, Warrior then had to give up the IC title because at that time you weren't allowed to hold two belts at the same time.
There you go.
Very weird stuff. All right, great pick, Hogan Warrior. There's a few really good ones here. Okay, I am going to take another kind of a recency bias one from last year.
No. Crown Jewel?
Crown Jewel 2021, Edge and Rollins, Hell in a Cell.
It's scary how much we're on the same wavelength with these stuff.
Absolutely one of the best.
That was a great match. Like, just there was nothing left in the tank in that one. And it was just like, they'd already had a couple of good matches, but that was just the culmination of brilliance between those two.
I mean, those two guys don't often put on bad matches, and to have them both inside Hell in a Cell, giving it their all, it was, an incredible match.
Brilliant pick, brilliant pick. I am disappointed in that one. All right, I'm going to go with I'm going to give your boy a shout out, HBK. We go HBK versus Bulldog at One Night Only in 1997.
Okay.
For the European title. And that was HBK became the first Grand Slam champ.
That's right. Now, I did have that on my list, but I haven't actually seen the match, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I decided, okay, I'll get rid of it. But it was on my list because I just read about how great it was.
Yeah. I haven't watched it in years, but I do remember watching it and just going, obviously I've got Bulldog on it now twice, but I never really liked Bulldog as growing up. But obviously he was great for the person I was cheering for. So
absolutely. That is a good pick. All right. Where do I go to from here? Now, there's so many great matches. It's hard. Okay, I'm going to take Another one from Toronto, 2016. Ooh. NXT TakeOver Toronto. The Revival, aka FTR, against DIY, 2 out of 3 falls match.
Great match.
One of the best tag team matches you'll ever see.
Those two teams had the best dynamics between each other in the ring. Like, NXT was, that was what was, why you wanted to watch NXT, for those two tag teams.
Absolutely.
And I hated them, but I mean, like, FTR, like, but now I love them, but still.
I mean, you look at the Gargano Ciampa storyline they made after DIY split, you know, just shows how over those two guys were. And obviously FTR, aka Revival, are just, you know, have almost every title under the sun.
Known to man, yeah.
So there you go. Fifth pick, Revival and DIY.
Great pick. All right. Well, I'm tossing up between two here. So I can mention both of them because you don't have another pick. But I'm going to go with Rock versus Austin Rebellion 2001.
Okay. I did have that on my list.
Yeah. That was another one of those many matches between those two, but they just blew the roof off it over there in the UK. And then the other one I was tossing up was Elimination Chamber New Year's Resolution 2005.
Okay.
Yeah. Triple H, Edge, Benoit, Jericho, Orton, Batista, and HBK was the ref. That was a pretty brutal.
That's a few names in that.
Yeah. All, well, except for one. Well, shall not be named. But any other honorable mentions for you, mate?
Well, you know, this might be optimistic, seeing if you can guess this, but can you guess the other international match that was over five? This one was over 5 stars.
For WWE?
Yes. This is a really tough question.
Yeah, nah.
It was Walter and Tyler Bate for the NXT UK title at TakeOver Cardiff 2019.
Wow.
5.25 stars from Dave Meltzer.
Wow, there you go. I definitely wouldn't have got that. No, I was thinking all the big names and everything, and I was just trying to figure out, because I was like, we've got them all on the list here. Yeah. So,
honorable mention, one which just didn't make the cut, and I think it was because I took one from Backlash already, was Benoit, HBK, and Triple H for the World Heavyweight title, the triple threat match.
Yeah, that was a great match.
What else almost got picked? I wanted to throw a shout-out to the Montreal Screwjob and a shout-out to Reigns and Paul for this year, but they did not make the cut.
I've got one other honorable mention, also from the One Night Only pay-per-view, 97, Taker and Hart for the title. It ended in a DQ, but those two had brilliance in the ring, like, and obviously it was coming off the back of Shawn Michaels costing Taker the title earlier in the year. So if you get a chance, watch that pay-per-view. It's actually a pretty good one.
I will have to go out and watch it now. Now, I had a couple others, the Canadian Stampede, which is rated one of the best pay-per-views of all time.
Ever, yeah.
Hart Foundation against Shamrock, Goldust, LOD and Austin. We had Rollins and Lesnar for the Universal title at SummerSlam 2019. Which was a cracker of a match. Orton and Benoit, SummerSlam 2004.
Yeah.
Which was another cracker. Edge and Cena, TLC at Unforgiven 2006. And a shout out to, I do have one Australian match on the list. AJ Styles and Samoa Joe for the WWE title at Super Showdown in 2018.
Hey.
No count out, no DQ, absolute cracker. There's plenty more.
That storyline was brilliant for those two. Yeah. 50 pay-per-views. We could go all day, I guess.
We could go all day. So I had Gunther and Sheamus, Clash at the Castle 2022, Randy Orton, Cactus Jack for the IC title, Backlash 2004, Rock and Hogan, WrestleMania 18, Toronto, Edge and Rollins, Hell in a Cell, Crown Jewel 2021, and Revival and DIY, 2 out of 3 falls, NXT TakeOver Toronto. Benny had Bulldog and Bret Hart, SummerSlam London 1992, KO and Balor from Beast in the East from Tokyo, Hogan and Warrior winner take all match at WrestleMania 6 in Toronto 1990, HBK against Hart one night only, and then Austin and Rock for the WWF title at Rebellion 2001.
Toronto getting plenty of love.
Yeah, Toronto gets a lot of great pay-per-views. I was saying if we got rid of all the Canadian pay-per-views, it would be a very short list.
Yes, definitely.
But actually, you know, in saying that, they did hold... It was funny, there was a giant gap where they only held kind of US shows, but they held a lot of shows in England, you know, for quite some time.
Yeah.
In the 2000s and the 90s, and then there was just a giant gap, and then they returned. So... there you go. Best matches outside the USA.
Let us know what you think, guys. Anybody else got any other possible ones?
Yeah, let us know what you think. Hit us up on the socials. But that is it for the show this week. We'll be back next week. We're going to look ahead to AEW Full Gear. Thank you for joining us, Benny.
Thank you, mate. It's been a pleasure as always.
And we'll see you all next time on the 3 Count Podcast.